Activists across the country are calling for major changes to police department funding following the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Now, here in Boston, Mayor Marty Walsh responded to that call by promising to reallocate a total of $12 million from the police overtime budget to public health initiatives. That's about 20% of that budget. Activists have long criticized overtime as an unaccountable system that police officers can use to enrich themselves. The Bay State banner is out now with a new investigation into police overtime, and Yawu Miller, the banner's senior editor, is here to talk about it. Yawu, thanks for joining us here on Radio Boston.
Good to be here.
Okay, so when I first saw a five-minute walk can mean 4 hours of overtime, I was incredulous. But you and reporter Catherine McGloin basically found that. Can you explain that to us?
Certainly. So there is a four-hour minimum for overtime. And when, in a court case, when a defense attorney is requesting, or a prosecutor is requesting evidence, in many cities and towns across Massachusetts, from my understanding, is that the police department will electronically send evidence. When there's physical evidence, usually what they're sending over is an affidavit. So that would normally be sent electronically. If there's a large file like a 911 call, an audio file or video evidence, that gets shared via Dropbox or some other sharing platform. In Boston, what the defense attorneys are telling us is that this is always coming over in paper, in CDs or DVDs, sort of paper transcripts, etc. And, sometimes it even holds up cases where, they're waiting for an officer to physically bring the evidence over. And, what a lot of the defense attorneys who we spoke to suspect is that it's essentially just a way for officers who, work nights and then aren't on duty during the day. They can come into their station, pick up the evidence, drop it off, and then go back to playing golf and collect 4 hours of overtime. So it's basically, they're getting time and a half for 4 hours.
Do you have confirmation from law enforcement that this is happening?
I've spoken with officers who have said that it does happen. We don't know the extent of it. We do know that that officers fill out overtime slips anytime they appear in court. But we've not requested any data from that. We don't know whether they actually compiled data from those overtime slips.
So I just want to kind of summarize what you're saying. Because there is a four-hour minimum for overtime, this you're suggesting that you're hearing from the courts that there is a structural incentive for officers to bring evidence over physically while off duty that might otherwise come in electronically in order to get that few minutes turned into a four-hour overtime payment. Am I understanding
right.
you correctly?
Precisely.
And do we have any sense of whether this is happening 5 times a year or 5,000 times a year? What do we know about how ordinary or frequent this is?
It's all just anecdotal, but what we heard is that there are very few instances in which evidence needs to be physically conveyed to a courthouse. In other cities and towns across Massachusetts, it's not. It's almost always handled electronically. And outside of body camera footage, these defense attorneys have told us that, pretty much everything is being brought over physically by a police officer.
Do you have a formal response to your story from either the police department or the city?
Well, so our reporter, Catherine McGloin, asked the police department, for an explanation of this. And Sergeant Detective Boyle, the spokesperson for the Boston Police Department, said that each case is different and unique and can depend on which district attorney is handling the case or requesting the evidence. So he didn't really give a clear reason for why something like a transcript of a 911 call needs to be printed out and carried over versus sent over electronically.
Now, the current police contract with the union expired on June 30th, so it's in renegotiations. We do know that there's been some mention in the Boston City Council of concern over this four-hour minimum. Do you know if there is pressure to change that four-hour minimum in the new police contract? And have you heard anything from advocates about the police contract in response to your story?
What we heard in a city council hearing last week was, Councillor Andrea Campbell was complaining that, you know, there's no transparency in the negotiations. She specifically said she would like to know whether the Walsh administration is negotiating, you know, is willing to negotiate over that four-hour minimum for overtime. And, I think the Walsh administration has been fairly consistent in saying that the negotiations are private, which is to say they won't share information with the council. Sorry.
Yeah. Do you have a read on the mayor's openness or willingness to renegotiate things like overtime in the new police contract? Do we know what's on the table there?
We don't, and neither does the city council. When the mayor promised to cut $12 million out of the overtime budget, you know, some of the councilors thought it was symbolic because, you know, when officers work overtime, they're entitled to their overtime pay. If you cut the budget, they'll just overspend the budget, and the city is required to fund the fund the overtime, you know, whatever the dollar amount is. They consistently overspend their overtime budget. So that $12 million cut seems like it was largely symbolic.
Yeah, just to note, the last overtime budget was $60.8 million. But expenditures on overtime are closer to $70 million. Yawu, before we let you go, I do want to shift gears a little because there's actually another interesting wrinkle to this story. I saw your tweet when you tweeted on Monday that while you were outside Roxbury District Court taking pictures for this story, you were stopped and questioned by seven police officers. Can you tell us a little more about that experience?
Certainly. The officers, they're concerned because I was shooting photographs of the station. They're concerned because many officers have had their cars vandalized. They've had people show up at their homes. In this current environment, they're feeling that they're under threat. So I understand that. I mean, if somebody were in front of my home shooting photographs, I'd certainly ask them what's going on. What happened next, though, is sort of more concerning, which is that one of the officers said, "Should we FIO him?" And the sergeant, you know, who I was talking with said, yeah. So they took my ID. And, you know, at that point, that goes from simple questioning, like, hey, what's going on here, to, I'm actually being detained. And more than that, they're putting my information in a database that says, you know, I was engaged in suspicious activity. That means the next
That's
time I get
pulled. That's field interrogation, right? FIO stands for field interrogation order, which is that logging into the database.
Right. Field interrogation observation report. So that's what they filed on
Thank
me.
You.
Right. Basically it signals to an officer, like if I get pulled over for a moving violation, you know, that I've engaged in suspicious activity in the past. It could mean I might be subjected to a search or something like that. But I mean, as a journalist, as somebody who, has resources and access to legal help, I'm not as concerned as I would be for a teenager who gets FIO. We know that 70% of the people who are in the FIO database in Boston are Black. And that, you know, even though Blacks account for about 22% of the city's population, there's a pervasive feeling in the Black community that young Black people are over-surveilled by police, and that, the more you're sort of, you know, turning kids upside down, shaking out their pockets, the more kids are going to get, you know, arrested for minor offenses that, you know, it's the kind of thing that's not happening to white children in Boston. It's not happening to young white people, or, you know, I mean, far fewer white adults are being, FIO'd or, you know, and entered into databases such as the FIO database.
Yeah. Have you heard from the Boston Police Department since you tweeted out your experience?
No, I have not. I did get a phone call from the mayor, though.
Oh, can you tell us about that?
he just asked what was going on with it, and I just gave him an explanation of what had happened, and it didn't go much beyond that.
Okay, and how are you reflecting on it now, these few days later?
You know, I mean, again, as somebody who, you know, writes regularly about the police department, any interaction I have with them is sort of like an on the, I count it as on the record interaction with the police department. I can write about them. They observe me, but I observe them. So I don't feel threatened by it. I am really concerned because when I talk to young people, to teenagers, I've heard from several young people that they've been entered into the gang database and that police officers have told them they're in the gang database. And, you know, they say, I'm not a member of a gang. I never have been. I don't even know how I got in there. So, the officers have tremendous power to, put people, treat people as if they're suspects, to treat particularly young black males. And it has consequences for them. That go far beyond what could happen to somebody like myself or somebody like you.
Well, Yawu, thank you so much. That's Yawu Miller, senior editor of the Bay State Banner.
Thank you, Tiziana.